Well, this morning we want to welcome some special guests with us today, Phil and Alana Carmichael from South Africa, by way of Michigan and Florida and now New York and other places. They're going to be sharing about the Pines, a ministry that's near and dear to our heart. Before Phil comes, we're going to start with a video, so the lights are going to go off, and then he'll come up after the video has finished.
Welcome to the Pines Christian Care Center for Children in Velcom, South Africa. By raising children in a Christian environment, the Pines hopes to train children to be morally pure, which in turn will help them live through the AIDS pandemic and make a lasting impact in their communities. Tragedy has touched the lives of many due to the AIDS pandemic. The Pines is stepping in to help keep these children from becoming a second lost generation.
Hi everyone, my name is Tankiso. Before I came to the Pines, I lived in a family that had 7 members in the house, my mom and my dad and 5 other siblings.
Hi, my name is Maria, and I stay here at the Pines. The reason why I came here is because I wasn't living in a healthy family as well as an environment. I really enjoy being here because I feel loved and like cared for.
We came here because my our family could not support us financially and stuff. Then 2009, my mom passed away. I remember it was exactly after school. I came home and I was told the news. My brothers were too young to understand, but then I understood what was going on. So I was like the only one that was crying and stuff. 2009, one of my little brothers also got saved. And then 2012, I think, I got baptized.
But after that baptism, I wasn't actually following what God wanted me to do. So I decided to ask God for a second chance and if he could help me, because I know it's never too late to get saved or, to repent from our sins. Now I feel like I'm a new creation.
Velcom is like many areas of South Africa where modern luxuries meet vast poverty. On the outskirts of town are thousands of people living in conditions that make everyday life a challenge. More than 20 years after the end of apartheid, Velcom is still fairly divided. Formerly home to some of the world's richest gold mines, a decrease in mining has led to widespread unemployment, and many people can't afford to purchase food or shelter necessary to sustain basic life. Heavy reliance on migrant labor led to poor, cramped living conditions, and prostitution was rampant. HIV had begun to influence South Africa, and prostitution was a catalyst for its growth. As men would return to their homes, they took the disease with them, infecting their wives and future children. Doctors in Velcom estimate between 45 and 50% of the area's population are infected with HIV. Children are often victims of an overwhelmed public health care system. Many children die in the hospital because of malnourishment, dehydration, and neglect. In many cases, these deaths could have been avoided. Mothers and fathers are dying every day, leaving young children to fend for themselves. These children are doing whatever is necessary to survive, often repeating the cycle of crime and prostitution. That is where the Pines comes in. The Pines is working diligently to intervene for children orphaned by HIV in poverty-stricken families. The Pines' desire is to raise productive South African citizens rooted in their faith and culture. Each of the flats function as a self-sufficient family with a South African house mother providing nurture and daily guidance. The mamas converse with their children in Sesotho and cook traditional foods, helping the children maintain their indigenous culture. Each child has their own set of daily responsibilities. These may include watching over the younger children, outside work, and maintaining and keeping their flats clean. This instills in them responsibility and a strong work ethic. Thanks to sponsors, the children are able to attend some of the better schools in the Velcom area. The children will remain at the Pines until they are prepared to go to college or vocational training. While the Pines seeks to provide a safe, loving home for children, our main goal is to raise the children with opportunities to understand and accept the love of God through saving faith in Jesus Christ. The children attend a local church weekly and participate in a Wednesday night service at the Pines. Our teens attend youth group, and some may also attend other Bible studies by choice. 2 to 3 times per year, teams from the United States will minister to the children at the Pines and the Township Church through Bible studies and vacation Bible school programs. Above all, the Pines wants God to be exalted in the work that is done. Our desire is that the children will accept Christ's free gift of eternal life and then return to their communities to spread the good news of salvation.
The Pines means a lot to me. I think all of the kids can say, can all testify that it means a lot to us, as it's like a home to us. It's like a shelter. There's protection here. There's enough love to go around. It's a place for all of us. I mean, we can always run back here. It's like home. My hopes for the future. Most of the South African kids always dreamed about becoming a policeman, firefighter, social worker, or a teacher. But then I chose to elevate a bit and become like something bigger, not to be stereotyped and stuff. So I chose to become a mechanical engineer, and then hopefully have a family, and then implement whatever the Pines has taught me throughout the years that I've lived here on my children, you know. Take them into good hands, as I was taken into good hands. Teach them about God, that's most of the important thing here.
But what I know is that I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. So I kind of feel like I'm a missionary, in other words. I can also share the gospel through singing a song to other people. Then they will come to me, because I know a lot of people told me that I have a beautiful voice, which I really love, because I took that gift from my mom and from God.
There we go. Now I'm not muted. I can hear myself now. It's such a pleasure to be here this morning. I want to thank Pastor Jay and all of you for inviting us here. We are proxies this morning, the Pines Christian Care Center and Sally Seafried. I know that this church has supported Sally for many years. You've been part of the Pines for many years. You've sent, I think, 3 teams over the years to the Pines, and we were kind of hoping we were going to see you this year, but that didn't work out very well. But we're trusting maybe next year you'll be able to, Pastor Jay will get his act together and have something ready for next year maybe, you know? Okay? You know, it's kind of weird. Each time that we've seen Pastor Jay, he's always had a guitar strung over his shoulder up front, because that's how he came to the Pines, always with a guitar. But then I did see he was back hiding in a corner there with his guitar there. So, you've seen the video. Most of you, or certainly many of you, are familiar with the Pines and what's going on there. We know that You have been praying for us for all these years. But it's a funny thing, kids grow up. And just by the way, when I do like this, that means small children in South Africa. So it's just a habit that I have now. So when the small children have grown up into big children, okay? And even since this video was made, the children have grown up. And we have some wonderful stories, and I have a PowerPoint that I want to share with you. And I'm probably going to stand to the side so that I can see what's going on too. But God has blessed us tremendously at the Pines. My wife and I, would you stand just a moment, Alana? My wife, Alana. My wife and I have been the general managers at the Pines since 2009, so going on 15 years now. But recently we have turned the management over to the local church, and now we are back here in the States promoting fundraising and recruiting for the work there. Let's see here now. All right, help me. Dead battery. Isn't that the way it works? Huh? Okay, is this going to work now? You don't know. Okay. So the Pines Christian Care Center is a property that was given to us by Harmony Gold back in 2005. And about 15 acres, lots of buildings.
I'll help you, because I heard you making fun of me back there.
No way, no way, no way.
Now it's on.
Okay.
Here, let's go really fast. He's all done. No, I'm just kidding. No. Sorry.
All I had to do was turn it on. Huh? I appreciate that. So at any rate, God had blessed us with 15 acres full of buildings. They were mainly office buildings, but through teams such as your own, we've been able to transform these offices and buildings into apartments, classrooms, chapels, and so forth for the children. Our primary purpose is to take in children who are orphaned, abandoned, neglected, or abused. And when the Pines started, it was basically for AIDS-affected orphans. But due to medical improvements and so forth, most of our children now are the other, the abandoned, the abused, and the neglected that come into us. Some of our children are HIV positive. Most of them are not. We'd like to take the children in small because they are typically with us long term, and so that we're able to teach them, educate them, train them, teach them about Jesus Christ and His love for them. And most of these children that come to us, they have no discipline in their lives, and just on and on it goes. So this gives us an opportunity to take them in young, to teach them, to train them, and to bring them up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. And it's a funny thing about children. I said, you know, they start out small and then they get bigger. I see Caleb here. You know, last time I saw him, he was taller than I was. Now he's really taller than I am. Children grow up. And just the same way Leonard and Anna came to us very young. And today Leonard is an apprentice at a diesel shop, learning to be a diesel mechanic. He's 24 years of age now. Anna, his little sister, when she came to us, she was so shy. Some of you may remember her. You look at her and she starts crying. You know, she was just so shy. Today she is so outgoing. She's just started university. She desires to become a surgical nurse, and she has all the ability to accomplish that in her life. So we thank the Lord for these children. We have now had to implement a transitional program whereby as our children turn 18, they are put into separate apartments where they take care of themselves, they feed themselves, they even wash their own clothes and dishes and all that kind of stuff, which is kind of a stretch for some of them. But Wandile, the young man on this side, When he came to us, he was, the social worker told us, he's mentally challenged, he can't hear, he's deaf, he's just got all these things against him. But as we began to love him and care for him and take care of him, it started showing that he's not deaf. He is very clever. Very recently, he started university. He wants to become a certified public accountant. And he's just a fine young man. Three brothers on this side. You'll remember Tom Kiesel from the video. He and his two brothers came to us very young. Toomey, the one on this side, was not expected to live. The social worker said he's not going to live very long, but just, you know, do what you can for him. And when he passes away, you know, the state will help bury him. He's 15, 16 years old now. Skinny as a rail and tall as a beanpole, but he's in good health and doing well. And we just thank the Lord that in 15 years, though many of our children have come to us expected to die, we haven't had one fatality, not one death at the Pines in 15 years. We were asked last night about what about COVID. All during the COVID period, COVID did not touch the Pines, not once. We are so thankful for what God has done and continues to do. Some of the highlights, Lovemore on this side, just got his driver's license, well, when the picture was taken anyway. Quite a feat for these children to become young adults and to be able to get a driver's license. I mean, you know how many people have driver's license in South Africa? A lot of people driving, but they don't all have driver's license, okay? So to actually get a driver's license is pretty cool. And so he's pretty proud of himself there, and we are too. Leonard came to me one day. He says, Ndala, I want a car. And I says, well, do you have any money? He says, well, no. I says, well, I know you like mechanics, and I know you're studying to be a mechanic, so why don't you find an old car that needs to work, that needs some work? So he did. He found an old car, brought it home, and he and I started tearing it apart, and it's a running car today. So that's pretty cool, too, to see things like that taking place. The children all like to work if there's a motor involved. You know how that works, huh? If it's a shovel, nah, we don't want to do that. But if there's something else involved. So the kids like to work, so we keep them busy. This was actually during COVID. All the kids were home for about 9 months, and so we had to generate a lot of work to keep them busy. Tom Kiso on this side again is in charge of the mulching business. If you've been keeping in touch with Randy Teachout's news, you'll know that the mulching business that Randy started is doing very well. In fact, I spoke with South Africa a couple days ago, and Tom Kiso was actually supposed to pick up some kids from school, and he was busy mulching, so somebody else had to take his job doing there. So our young people, our young adults are progressing well and doing well. Nazo, those of you who have been there, you remember Nazo. He came to us 9 years of age, just a naughty child, very disagreeable. But today he's married, has a little girl, lovely family. He has trained to become a heating and cooling technician. Unfortunately, during COVID, his company shut down, so now he's back in Velcom. And the last time I was there, I bought him a welder, taught him how to weld, and so now he's doing odd welding jobs to support his family, though. As you well know, oftentimes we'll have teams come over, you've been involved in that, and we'll have this particular pastor on this side, pastor from Michigan, came over and was able to minister to the children. You'll have heard the name Pastor Franz on this side. Pastor Franz was with us for many years, and he was our liaison in town. And then as our children become followers of Jesus Christ and they grasp their faith in Jesus Christ and they follow God's following in baptism. This is Wandile, the young man who is studying to be a certified public accountant. He's in the waters of baptism there. Two of our young people, Maria and Makosi, had opportunity to go to Word of Life. They went to Word of Life the first year. They struggled because academically they really struggled, but they did well enough the first year that Word of Life invited them back to be interns for a second year. And that was a life changer for them, that opportunity to, number one, be away from the Pines and kind of on her own, but also to be able to be immersed in studying God's Word and then helping to disciple children as they came back to the Pines. Tom Kiso leading the Wednesday evening Bible study. Again, you know, these guys came to us small, and for us, it's just a joy to see not what we have done, but what God has done in their lives over the years. This is a smattering of our young adults, Maria and so forth. All these young people are some of them are still in high school. I think Cidiso's finishing up his last year of high school. The rest of them are now young adults and on their own. Love more up in the that side. has finished high school and he is now serving an internship at Valcom Baptist Church. He wants to go into ministry and become a pastor. In fact, I think they are working on getting him to Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. They're hoping that they're able to get him there for a couple of years. So actually, that's a matter of prayer. I don't know how hard it is to get a visa for them to come here, but God can provide that, right? As I mentioned recently, in 2019, we started a process, and Valcom Baptist Church has now taken responsibility of the management, allowing my wife and I to be back in the States to promote and fundraise and so forth. I might say that it's been a rocky start. It's with its difficulties, having them managing. They're doing the best that they can, but we are currently actively seeking couples that are willing to come to the Pines. School teachers, a nurse, groundskeeping, things like that, a general manager. So if you're in the group this morning and you would qualify for one of those positions, we are actively looking for those who are ready and willing to serve at the Pines. Currently, Pastor Joshua Balaji is the pastor of Valcom Baptist Church. He is the interim general manager. And Pastor Louis O'Toole is a missionary from Iowa. They are caring for Valcom Baptist Church, but also involved in helping us in the management of the Pines. Chantel, on this side, she is our office manager. We recently received word that her husband is taking a pastorate in another part of South Africa, so we'll be losing her. So add that to the list of things we need. We need an office manager. Any takers? Ernest and Connie Molifi are members of Valcom Baptist Church. They have been living at the Pines, but we heard as well that they are going to be moving back into Valcom this month as well. So this is our South African staff. You heard that all of our apartments have South African mamas that care for the children. This is our mamas that we have currently, and then our yard workers down in the corner there, that they are the ones that I predominantly worked with. And Randy Teachout now is currently working with them. And then the personnel from the States, of course you all know Sally Seyfried. Sally Seyfried is now back in the States. She's in Longmont, Colorado. She went a couple of years with a lot of health issues, and so they brought her back to try and get her stabilized. And her heart definitely is in South Africa. I spoke to her often. And every time you can just feel that tug on her heart to be back there, to be back there with the children. So pray for her that God would provide for her health needs. Randy and Carrie Teachout, Renee and Sonia Einfeld, and then Alana and myself. Renee and Sonia Einfeld go back occasionally back to South Africa for 3 months at a time. She has just been diagnosed with cancer, possibly cancer. So we're not quite sure how that's all going to work out. So pray for them as well. Did your team put this cross up? You don't remember. I think they did. One of the teams came over, put this cross up many years ago, and it's still standing, and it's a reminder of who established the Pines, who's in control of the Pines, and the Pines moving forward is all going to be because of Jesus Christ and the ministry that he has established there. And we are so thankful, and we want to thank you for your ministry and involvement in the Pines. The Pines would not exist without churches and people like yourselves. We also have, and I don't know the number, child sponsors from this church and a lot of other places, but my wife wanted me to remind you and thank you, those of you who sponsor children, for your faithfulness to the ministry at the Pines. We can't survive without funding, obviously. And the child sponsorship program that my wife runs and so forth allows you to pick a child and to sponsor them for either living or education. I think it's $40 for living, $40 for education. And you are able to sponsor a child at the Pines. And my wife would send you pictures and letters, and you would be kept up to date as to the progress of the children. And your help and your funding would also allow us to continue to minister at the Pines there. This morning, we wanted to give an update as to what's going on at the Pines, how God is working, how God is providing for the needs of these children. We currently have about 36 kids in care. Our facilities isn't big enough because continually they're asking us if we have extra room, more beds, you know. And at some point you have to say, you know, we already have 8 kids in a small apartment. We can't be loading up the mamas any more than that. So we are currently in the process of putting in 2 more apartments. This year we have a team from Michigan that will be going over, and we'll be beginning 2 more apartments that we'll be able to shuffle things around so that we can take in some more children. You can turn this off now. I don't know if you can do that back there. So personnel, funding, and teams are what we're here promoting today, and we're trusting that God will use this church as they have in the past to provide the things and the things that we need for the Pines. This morning I want to transition a little bit to something that God has laid on my heart. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, we have the story of Moses, and I'm sure if you've been in church for any length of time, you know the story of Moses. Moses, who was hidden by his mother in the bulrushes to save his life and so forth. He was raised by Pharaoh's family. And then through a certain event, he found himself caring for sheep out in the wilderness. And Moses, I'm sure, had a pretty good upbringing. I'm sure he was well-educated. I'm sure he was well-trained because he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. But to find himself caring for sheep in a wilderness was quite a change in his life. And in Exodus chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, if you turn there a moment, Moses finds himself in a very different situation than what he grew up in. And as Moses finds himself in the wilderness in chapter 3, Moses is caring for the flocks, and one day, we all know the story, he sees this bush, and it's burning. And it's not being consumed. And which one of us would walk past and say, that's just a burning bush, right? No, he went over and checking this out. And Scripture tells us that as he approached the bush, God spoke to him from the bush. And God revealed himself to Moses that day. But not only did God reveal himself to Moses, but he asked him to do something. And we know the story. You know, isn't it something how you can read the same story 10 times, and every time, because it's God's word, something new comes out. And we're able to glean something new. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flocks into the west side of the desert and came to the Mount of Horeb. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning. And as the story goes on, God reveals himself. Moses realizes that this is God talking to him. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, it says, "Now come therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth this people." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go?" He encountered God. God identified himself. He recognized God. God called him. And what's his first response? "I can't do that." As it goes on in verses 7 through 10, God calls him into service and Moses gives excuses. "I'm a nobody. I don't qualify. They won't believe me." And each time, Moses gives an excuse and God says, but I will. He continually tells Moses, "Regardless of what your excuse is, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm a nobody. They won't believe me. I can't speak well." In each case, God refutes his complaint and says, "You can't, but I can. You can't, but I can." It's interesting that in this story, Moses doesn't quit. Finally, God says, "Okay, you can't do it. I'm going to provide for you Aaron. I'm going to provide miracles for you. I'm going to do all these things." And still reluctantly, Moses finally says, I'll do it. You remember the story in Jeremiah? Jeremiah had the same deal. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, God calls Jeremiah to do a difficult job. And Jeremiah says, "I can't do it." Jeremiah lacked confidence. Jeremiah said, "I'm too young. I can't do it." And again, God proves to Jeremiah that you can't, but through you, I can. And God has done that throughout history. I think of my own self, in my own story. I grew up in Africa. I grew up in West Africa, in the country of Mali, in the desert. My wife, however, grew up in Michigan. And so in 1979, I came back to the States after lived 18 years in Africa. And I met my wife, and we were married. And when I proposed to her, she said, "Yes, I'd love to marry you. But let's just make one thing clear. I'll never go to Africa, okay?" So, and I said, "Okay, that's cool." You know, at the time, you know, love covers everything, right? Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Okay. Even though I had a love for Africa, I understood that if I married my wife, Africa's out of the question. And we carried on for 15 years. I became a tool and die maker, had a great career. And in 1988, the mission contacted us and says, "Would you be willing to go for 6 weeks? And I said, "Don't look at me, look at her. Yeah, I'm ready, but, the wife that you gave me, right? Huh?" But you know, I wish we had time that my wife could tell the story. And 6 weeks, you know, there's light at the end of a six-week tunnel. I can see it. I can do anything for 6 weeks. And so she went, and again, she arrived in West Africa, and she thought she had stepped back into Bible times. Camels, donkeys, flowing robes, turbans, all this weird stuff. She was in a haze and a daze for 6 weeks. During that 6 weeks, they informed us that we really need somebody for 18 months. Is that? Well, the tunnel's a little bit longer and the light's a little bit farther, but 18 months, yeah, we can do 18 months. During 18 months, God called us back full time. Now that's a stretch. But now it wasn't any more necessarily my wife, now it was me. Because God was calling us into full-time service. And I was just like Moses. I said, God, you know how I barely graduated high school. Now I got to go back to Bible school? I can't do that. And Lord, you know that I can't get up in front of people and talk. I can't do it. But God reminded me, just as he did Moses, Jeremiah, and others. It wasn't about my wife anymore. I couldn't use her as an excuse. Now it was on me. Was I willing to take the hard steps to do what I needed to do so that God could use me back on the mission field? It wasn't about going back to Africa. I'd go back to Africa in a heartbeat. But it was a preparation. Just like these men that God was confronting, there was preparation involved. Moses had to go to Pharaoh before he could get to the promised land. I had to go through some difficult things in my life before God could use me on the field. But I thank God for Scripture, because in Scripture there's verses like Isaiah that God tells us, fear thou not, for who is with me? Tell me, class. Fear thou not, for I am with you. God is with us. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will keep you. I will uphold you. And I had to be reminded that God was in charge of my life. Did you know that when God calls you, he equips you? Did you know that when God calls you, he gives you the ability, even if you don't have that ability? I get it. Moses couldn't talk because there was a time when I couldn't have done this. But God gives that ability. God gives us that ability to serve for him. If you're here this morning, and if God has been kind of working on you, maybe subtly, maybe not so subtly, that he has a job for you to do. It could be here in the church. It could be overseas. You don't know. I don't know. But let me encourage you that if God is tugging on your heart, if he has a responsibility for you, he will give you the ability. He will give you the help that you need to do what it is that he has called you to do. So many people today have excuses. I had them. Many have them. But I'm here to tell you that whatever your excuse is, God can overcome that excuse. You know, there are many people in Scripture that had excuses and didn't feel that they were eligible to be used by God. Noah drank too much wine. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and a womanizer. Huh? Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. On and on it goes. so many people. And it's funny that we're all sinners, aren't we? And yet God still uses us. I want to challenge you this morning. God can use you. God wants to use you. In fact, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are expected to be used by God. If you feel led, or if you feel that God is calling you into full-time missions, don't hesitate. Embrace it. God wants to use you. Mission certainly needs you. We need you at the Pines. And I just want to, in closing, I want to pray. And I want to ask you to consider what God would have you to do, either locally or overseas. And I want you to remember one thing. It may be scary, but God will provide for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege that you give us to be yours. You've saved us out of a life of sin, and you prepared a home for us. But Father, in between, we have service to do. You expect us to serve you. You expect us to follow you. And I pray, Father, that you would provide for your kingdom, that you would provide for ministries overseas, that you would provide for this church, and that those who are here today would follow your calling and follow your leading in service to you. Father, I pray that you would bless us today, that you would use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Phil. Phil and Elena are going to go back to their booth in the foyer and afterwards say they'd love to talk to you.